Item four on our, excuse me, agenda today is the executive affairs. And the first action item on that is the approval of Provost Emeritus status for Dr. David Lee. I would like to highlight just a few of Dr. Lee's contributions to Western Kentucky University. Dr. Lee has served as Western Kentucky University with distinction for 48 remarkable years. After completing his PhD at The Ohio State University, he began teaching in the WKU Department of History as a visiting assistant professor in August of 1975. He made his way up the ranks from assistant professor to tenured associate professor in 1980 and full professor in 1985. He is a respected teacher, an accomplished scholar, and has published two well-regarded books. He began his career of administrative services to WKU as Associate Dean of Potter College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Services from 1986 to 1992. He served as interim head of music from 1987 through 1989. He was named interim dean of Potter College from 1992 to 1994 and dean of Potter College of Arts and Letters from 94 to 2015. Dr. Lee has served Potter College in the dean's office for an unprecedented 29 years. He was elevated to the role of provost and vice president for academic affairs in August of 2015. In that capacity, he delivered wise counsel to both President Ransdell and President Caboni and helped shepherd our university through the transition between presidents. In August, he entered transitional retirement and was appointed as WKU's first university historian. Among the many projects of important work was the WKU's acquisition of the Jonesville neighborhood through the Urban Renewal Project in the 1960s, a project that has helped WKU's recent efforts toward reconciliation and to honor Jonesville families and descendants. Over the past 5 years, Dr. Lee has conducted research to write and update history of WKU, a work that combines his commitment to WKU as an institution and his vocation as a historian. He is, without question, one of the most notable figures for WKU in the last half century. Dr. Lee fully retired from the university on June the 30th of 2023. President Caboni recommends the Board of Regents approve the designation of Provost Emeritus for Dr. David Lee based upon his 48 years of service and his record of achievement at the university. I'll be happy to entertain such a motion.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, and the motion carries. Congratulations, Dr. Lee.
To come join us and share with us, but before he does that, I want to publicly thank him. It is a challenging thing to come to a new institution, doubly so when you're faced with unknown challenges as you enter. And David was both wise counsel to me, an ear that supported me as we went through some really wrenching decisions that ultimately I had to make. But was just tremendous counsel. And you've heard stories around shared governance at the institution and the way in which faculty sometimes interact with the administration or leadership. And what is remarkable about David is he managed to navigate, which sometimes can be prickly and difficult waters, in a way that he is still well-respected and adored on this campus. And so, David, publicly, I want to thank you for all you've done for our university. I want to thank you for what you did for me personally, your time as provost. And we look forward for many more years of celebrating your contributions. He doesn't stop working, even though he's retired. So it is wonderful. So thank you for being here.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, President Bowman. And I was asked to say a couple of things, so I timed it as 3 minutes. I'll try to be to the point right away. And I certainly would like to begin by thanking President Cabone and you all as members of the board for this, for the Provost Emeritus status. I think you've only approved this status for two other people, for Barbara Birch and for Cheryl Stevens. And it is a special honor to me to be included in their company. I remember attending one of those national meetings where they try to teach you how to be a provost. And the guy who was running it got up and he said, "Have you ever thought about what would happen to your students if your institution didn't exist?" And he said, "If Harvard didn't exist, those kids would all be fine. They'd just go to Yale. But what would happen to your students if you didn't exist?" And the question really was for me a pointed reminder of what a unique and essential role WKU plays in this community, this Commonwealth, and well beyond that. I've only seen this more and more clearly as I've studied the history of the institution more intensely in the last few years. Henry Hardin Cherry, a man who never managed to acquire any academic credential of any sort whatsoever, ever, was determined that we be an institution of opportunity for people who wanted to have an education. And more than a century later, I think we really are, for many, many students who would not have that opportunity without us. But it does seem to me that being an institution of opportunity really is an aspirational goal. It's something you've got to always be kind of reaching toward. A big part of WKU's history, and I think maybe the most important work that we do, and you've seen a sample of it here again this afternoon, is steadily realizing that there are groups of actual or potential students that we could learn to serve better than we really have in the past. Most notably, it was 50 years and more before we became any kind of institution of opportunity for black students in Kentucky. And it took us a while to realize that we needed to do more for students who were balancing family and jobs on the one hand and their studies on the other, or how to better support students who navigate this hilltop campus in wheelchairs, or students with autism. I believe that commitment to learning how to educate better, how to reach more students more effectively, how to make more students more successful, is something that does truly run through the warp and woof of this institution. The faculty and staff of this institution work constantly to build better strategies for student success. And you have just seen grade A example of that in action. Living learning communities, a great example of faculty and staff working together to create new and better opportunities for our students. And I've encountered that kind of commitment pretty much every place I have ever been at WKU. I saw that commitment modeled for me by others as maybe the greenest visiting assistant professor in the history of this institution. I certainly saw it as Dean of Potter College, and I saw it as the university's chief academic officer as provost. And what I cherish most about this nearly, oh my God, half century that I've spent here at WKU is that in all of these roles, the university has made me a part of valuable work on behalf of our students. And it's given me wonderful colleagues like Barbara and Cheryl to do it with. Thank you again for this designation. It means a great deal to me.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lee, for those comments. The second action item is the philanthropic naming request for the softball soccer indoor facility. The request is to approve the naming of the Alex and Kelly Downing softball equipment room located at WKU softball soccer indoor facility in recognition of a generous gift from Alex and Kelly Downing. As many of you know, Alex is a WKU alumnus who received his Bachelor of Science here in 1988. He is CEO of the Franklin Bank and Trust Company in Bowling Green. Prior to that, he was president of College Heights Foundation for 13 years. He has continued to advocate for WKU in this community and throughout. He has served on numerous boards and committees, all in support of WKU for the last 32 years. The request and recommendation of naming is in recognition of his generosity and that of his wife's to WKU. So I would like to entertain a motion to approve the philanthropic naming of the softball equipment room to the Alex and Kelly Downing Softball Equipment Room. Do I have such a motion?
Okay.
Have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no, and the motion carries. Under the executive, we also have two information items, and I will defer now to the philanthropic update. Amanda, you're already?
I'm here, I'm ready.
You're ready to go. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. It's good to be with you all today and share a quick update of where we are at the end of the first half of the fiscal year. There we go. All right. About a month ago, we celebrated homecoming on campus, which I think many of you all had a chance to probably participate in at least one of those events. But this is just a quick snapshot of what that week looked like for us on campus. It was a week of many firsts for us for homecoming. There in the right-hand corner, you see WKU First Gen in that picture. So on Tuesday, we started the week out with our first Alumni in Residence Day. And that was just a wonderful partnership with the Office of the Provost and his staff, and also with our deans and our colleagues in the colleges, where we were able to bring one first-gen alum back for each college to share their experience going through campus and what they've been doing since they left campus. Really great day, the first of many to come, that we plan to do more alumni in residence programs as we move forward. It was really great to have that in conjunction with our homecoming celebrations that week. We moved on to Thursday evening, where we had our Hilltopper Excellence Awards, and I'll touch on that in a little bit. And then on Friday, we transitioned Friday to really our community day, where we went out into the community, where we hosted our groundbreaking, of course, that morning here on campus. We had a lot of ROTC and military Veterans Day festivities on campus. We had our traditional Junior Achievement Chili and Cheese reception or luncheon out at Montana Grill, which again was more of a community-driven aspect this year than we have in the past. And then, of course, our parade and our downtown pep rally. And we were really pleased with the way that we transitioned. Given that it was nighttime in November, we had to shorten our parade route. And as you can see, we had a picturesque departure there from Cherry Hall. Came down to downtown and had a really wonderful celebration downtown. And we want to thank our partners with the Downtown Partnership, Tilia Butler, and all of our downtown businesses who really partnered with us to make that happen. And so it was a really great festivity to bring the community into the WKU celebration for homecoming. Of course, Saturday we had all of our traditional festivities on campus. We had a beautiful day, so we had a lot of tailgating. We partnered with our colleges to host a collegiate village around the alumni tent, and just a wonderful day on campus as we celebrated all of our homecoming activities. Our Hilltopper Excellence Awards, of course, was our brand new event this year that we transitioned from our HODA luncheon that was typically on Friday. We moved that to Thursday and then combined that with several other awards that we also had to recognize this year. And I just wanted to share with you all a quick video that we shared out on our social channels following that event.
For more than 30 years, the Hall of Distinguished Alumni Induction Ceremony has been a highlight of WKU's homecoming weekend. And through this celebration, may we not only recognize the personal and professional accomplishments and contributions of our alumni, but at the same time, inspire others to climb even higher.
I am profoundly moved and delighted to commemorate this occasion with all of you, and above all, I am honored to be a Hilltopper.
From the Reynolds family, congrats to all of the other honorees tonight. Go Tops.
Western gave me an experience that I would not trade for anything in this world. I am a proud alumni, and to have this honor tonight is one of the greatest honors of my life.
It was a wonderful evening. We started a new tradition, and the feedback's been really great. We, of course, did a survey out following the event, and we've gotten a lot of wonderful feedback from those who attended, and we look forward to growing the event as we move forward next year. I'd be remiss to not mention that we are accepting nominations for all of our awards. Our HODA nominations have typically been a pretty extensive process of putting together a lot of information, packets, materials. We've really condensed that process now, where if you can just send us names and people that you have ideas that would be worthy of HODA nominations, we'll do all the research. We'll do all the legwork for you. So if you have any names to pass along, please, you can share those with me, and we'll get those to the team. But I also want to take the opportunity to thank our team. As you all saw, we did a lot of different events this year. We changed a lot, and really our team stretched themselves to take all of that on, and it went off without a hitch. And so I'm really proud of our team and the effort that they put forth for our homecoming events this year. So the Gordon Ford College of Business. We've talked a lot about this, and that's the issue. Today, I wanted to share with you all that we've established our naming opportunities for that building. As you can see, there is a wide range of opportunities for folks to get involved, starting at $15,000. So again, as we've mentioned previously, we really want this to be a grassroots effort to hopefully bring opportunity for a lot of individuals to participate in naming something in this beautiful space. We've already started some conversations with some of our lead donors that are going really well. We'll be able to announce some of that later in the spring. And in January, my team, along with the president, will be out more asking, meeting with alumni, and asking for their involvement in this facility. But wanted to share with you all those naming opportunities, and if any of you all are interested, you know where to find me. The WKU Opportunity Fund. We were pleased to announce in the president's newsletter a couple weeks ago that we've eclipsed the $92 million mark as we inch our way towards that $100 million goal that we are working towards. We have now established 223 new endowed scholarships as a part of that effort. Really remarkable work on everyone since 2017 to establish these new scholarships for our students for opportunity and access. See our good friends CJ and George there on the screen, along with their two recipients. They were our speakers last year at our scholarship celebration, and we currently are planning what our new scholarship celebration in April will look like, and we'll have more details on that after the first of the year. But thank you, George and CJ, always for what you do. They are a hard act to follow, and their students did a wonderful presentation last year during the scholarship celebration. So more to come on that in April. And then finally, I wanted to share with you all our fiscal year results. Now, I shared this with you all back in August, and this is a five-year comparison of where we have landed as far as gift receipts go each fiscal year. Now, this is as of June 30. And as a reminder, gift receipts are not overall productivity. Gift receipts are really financial health. That is what we are cash flowing. When you look at productivity, overall productivity includes things like planned gifts, when someone documents a request with us, some other non-charitable gifts that come into the institution. Of course, that can vary widely across the year. So this is a number that we like to look at for consistency and to look how we are growing the financial support of the institution. Gift receipts in combination with productivity is what we report when we talk about campaign counting. So when you start hearing, you know, the $303 million when we raised over a decade, that's overall productivity. So that includes gift receiving, planned gifts, more inclusive number. But as you can see on this chart, it's a little blurry up there. Apart from fiscal 21, which of course was our COVID year, we've been fluctuating about plus or minus 10%, which is pretty consistent when you look across a five-year period. The two highest years of $23 million both included a seven-figure gift. And WKU traditionally has not received a seven-figure gift in every single fiscal year. So again, when you even take those outliers out, we would be incredibly consistent over the past fiscal years, five fiscal years, as far as gift receiving goes. Given the headwinds everyone is facing in the industry, economic uncertainty, declining discretionary income for our, the middle class, which is our primary constituency, we continue to hold our own and match, if not beat, a lot of our partner institutions when you look at an annual basis. Like everyone on campus, we faced a lot of budget and staff reductions, and we have 55% less staff on our team right now than we did 6 years ago. So we recognize that the expectation is still there, that we have to increase financial support for the institution and grow philanthropic revenue for WKU's future. It's why we engaged Evertruth 3 years ago and created our digital, our DXO officer program. And now we've worked the last 8 months to bring that program in-house. So we are providing a significant cost savings to the university and to our budget to be able to right-size that program that builds us out for a future in our operation. We're also doing a lot of great work right now with BWF, which is a consulting firm, to help optimize our back-of-house operations, prospect management, and then campaign planning, which I know is always something that we're talking about in higher ed. And they're really going to help us determine what's next and what's possible for us at WKU. Of course, with our limited personnel and resources, we always have to find ways to leverage those partnerships to help us do more and raise more for the institution. Just a quick side note, I feel like Dr. Bell here with a book review, but I'm currently reading Master of Change by Brad Stolberg, and his newsletter actually hit my mailbox this morning, coincidentally. And, you know, he noted that as a culture, we've all grown obsessed with short-term optimization, efficiency, and results. But the importance of building routines and ritual, which we can equate to process, is essential to long-term performance and ultimately growth of an individual and the organization. It really resonated with me this morning as I prepared to give you all this presentation and reaffirm that our current focus on really developing these sound business practices are what will help us grow this gift receipt number in the future to 25 and then hopefully $30 million in the not-too-distant future. I'm also extremely optimistic about the work that we are doing in this current fiscal year. We've had a lot of great conversations this fall that I know are going to lead to some significant announcements in the spring of 6- and 7-figure commitments. And so I look forward to sharing that with you in the spring at the end of our fiscal year. That's all I have for my report.
If you have any questions or comments.
I want to also commend Amanda and her team, and those of you who in the room who work closely with me, or those of you who know me, know that every time I sit down with somebody, I ask them what's next and why are we continuing to do the things we've always done and what could we do differently and better. And then I hold the folks accountable for those outcomes. And it's difficult to innovate and create change when things have been the same for a long time. And so the team this year really spent significant time on how do you elevate and transform events in a way that will benefit the university. But with that came having conversations around, well, you can't change that. We've been doing it for 50 years. And what you saw in the results, certainly with homecoming and the elevated evening event that formerly was HODA, is that transformation can create new energy, new engagement, and new opportunities. And so that also takes courage. And you're gonna hear things from people who don't like change. And so to Amanda individually, to her whole team, a great deal of thanks and congratulations. It was a remarkable celebration and continuing to create success.
Thank you, Amanda, so much for that presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Great presentation. Our mission as a university is to educate and empower our students to go out into the world and be successful in their chosen endeavors. We are extremely fortunate to have a president, Timothy Cabone, who is dedicated to this mission. Through his dedication and untiring efforts, our university is literally climbing to greater heights. His forward thinking and leadership ability is moving WKU toward its goals. Consider our metrics. Consider our graduation rates. Consider our retention rates. Consider our GPA scores, our campus enhancement, and our fundraising, which we've just heard about. The WKU Board of Regents has recently completed our annual evaluation of President Cabone with 100% participation by the board. Throughout his tenure as president and accelerating during the past year, President Cabone has proven to be an effective leader with a remarkable ability to advance our university, create stability, and promote an overall culture of excellence and innovation. The board continues to confidently support President Cabone's leadership and forward-looking vision for Western Kentucky University. This confidence is demonstrated in the evaluation done by the faculty. President Cabone's stewardship has helped WKU to make significant and rapid progress toward achieving the ambitious goals outlined in the university's 10-year strategic plan. His dedication to our institutional mission and thoughtful approach to challenges have been instrumental in driving transformative improvements in student success, academic excellence, and WKU's influence across our broader regions. These efforts have not only enhanced WKU's current standing, but have also solidified a robust foundation for future growth and success. While the evaluation period focused on the previous academic year, WKU's positive momentum has certainly continued into this fall semester, with notable achievement already occurring in the first half of the 23-24 academic year, including the first increase in overall degree-seeking enrollment in 13 years, the highest first to second year student retention in recorded university history, the commencement of construction, and I looked out the window and saw it today and I was amazed, of the long-awaited new Gordon Ford College of Business building, and commitment of more than $92.9 million for the WKU Opportunity Fund, which Amanda alluded to a few moments ago, which exceeds President Cabone's original $50 million goal by nearly $43 million, 4 years ahead of the planned conclusion date. The Board of Regents' review of President Cabone's performance makes clear that because of the difficult work undertaken and the success of those endeavors, WKU is better positioned for the future under his leadership. We look forward to celebrating WKU's future success as the university continues climbing to greater heights. And we thank President Cabone for all of his efforts toward this end.
Thank you, Chair Milliken, and it's really hard to hear that many nice things about yourself all at one time. You spread that out over the semester or after a faculty senate meeting. I appreciate the comments, and I will tell you that Casey and I remain committed to the work that we do here at WKU. We wake up every day and understand the weight of the responsibility, but also the privilege to serve this institution. Regent Bale, when we had our initial conversations about joining the university, we talked about not hiring a president, but how do you build a presidency? And so everything that you hear listed off as our accomplishments as an institution, and while I certainly play a role in almost all of it, none of it happens without a good team. And so to the cabinet and to the leadership of the administration, to the faculty, staff, who do this work every day, they get my thanks. And for that, I'm grateful. Casey's grateful. And what better way to end a semester than to celebrate with recognition ceremonies, the reason we do everything that we do as a university, transforming the lives of young people, many of whom would not have the opportunity if it were not for the work that we all do every day. So as we reflect at this time of year in the holiday season, I remain thankful and grateful for the opportunity to serve and look forward to continue to do so and create even more outstanding results in the coming months and years. Thank you.
I would remind you of the future meeting dates, which is contained in your agenda. Do we have any other business that needs to come before the Board of Regents meeting today? Hearing none, I declare this meeting adjourned.